from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins, and
I'm a rather croaky Nigel Payne. Apologies for my voice.
So, Nigel, this week, the Learning Survey 2024 from the Learning and Performance Institute has landed in people's inboxes. It's 74 pages long. It's there's a lot of data, and it looks like, and there's not a lot of commentary. So it's basically it's kind of like feeding time on the data. So it's all very clearly set out, and it's been put into various sections. It's based on responses from over 1500 people who are split into kind of heads of learning and learning managers, learning team members, consultants, and vendors. So there's quite a big good spread here. So it kind of tells a story of where each of those respondent groups are with their kind of learning strategy and approaches. So there's a lot of stuff in here. And just before we started the recording, we were sort of thinking, well, kind of where are we going to begin? And I said to Nigel, there's quite a few things in here about that the learning managers reveal, which are kind of, I think shocking, actually. I'll just run a couple of by you. I think one of them is about the learning strategy. So more than half of L&D managers think their L&D strategy is ineffective. Now, you know, that, I mean, I'm shocked by that, because the fact that people are prepared to reveal that fact, but also, you know, 50%, that's a lot of people, a lot of organizations where, you know, the desired effect of the learning is clearly not happening. So that's one area.
It's extraordinary, but it does have no commentary attached to it. And what is extraordinary is, if you think your learning strategy is a complete mess, 5.5%, or mostly not working, 52.75%, what are you doing? Why continue with a learning strategy that's not working? And a whole bunch of stuff must follow from that. I.e. your credibility with the organization, your access to more budgets and more budget and more resources, your effectiveness as a team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is extraordinary. And the fact that it's not commented on is even more extraordinary.
Yeah, and I think if you started to join some dots, and I think you're right, the research has kind of been shared in the spirit of, here's the data. There's not a lot of commentary. So I think we, in some senses, we can draw our own conclusions. And, you know, if the strategy is not working, then that might actually be responsible for the fact that L&D struggles with having a strategic voice. It's 32% of respondents has some challenges around communicating and marketing what it does, and also its effectiveness. You can see that these things are linked. If there isn't a strong presence and a credible presence at a senior level, and if there isn't good stakeholder engagement and communication around what learning does and the impact it has and the value it brings the organization, then you can see that these are going to be challenges. That's what it feels like to me, Nigel. Am I joining the right dots there?
I think you are. Yes, I think you are. I think that's right. But it's also interesting, if you look at the couple of slides down, if you could recruit one additional skill in your team, what would it be? And very high, marketing is almost the top, but the top is AI, as you probably think. But next one down after marketing and AI is content production. And you think, if you've got AI skills that you want to recruit, that invalidates the next one, because you don't need more content development people if you've got some understanding of how AI can operate in your learning organization. So there seem to be some contradictory points coming through. I don't know. Do you agree?
There are some, you know, contradictions and anomalies there. So to your point about content, if you dig deeper into the data and you look at what the vendors are up to, by far and away the biggest focus areas are producing training courses and producing content.
Yes.
So there are some kind of red flags here, because clearly AI is going to blow a hole in the economics of learning content production and distribution. So at the moment, the dependency is on content production. You know, so it'd be interesting to see how that changes. But I think it is a red flag for the industry as a whole, supply side and buyer side, because from the buyer side, if all employees are just going to go and get them, I don't know, leadership, management, whatever kind of support they need using generative AI, then what do you do about that as an in-house learning function? You know, it's not just the supply side. It's happening in every area of the sector. Another anomaly I thought was quite interesting was the 75% of L&D managers say their CEO is positive about L&D. So
yes,
if half of them don't have a strategy that works, just wondering how three quarters have a good relationship with their CEO, or is there some kind of massive blind spot here where it doesn't have to work and you can still maintain a good relationship, or is there something else going on? Because I think if you're having a good relationship with your CEO, potentially then your senior team, I'm presuming you have some influence there and you're able to really push the agenda of what learning is for and can do. So that's an anomaly for me. I don't quite, because I think it's very positive if that is the case. But the other data point seems to suggest that that might not be the case.
Yes.
Anyway, so that's why the interpretation is really important. And it also comes with lots of caveats, because it's, I could be making some assumptions here.
I agree with you. Let me just go to another one, which is amazing. Which of these terms do you think are relevant in the L&D world? And we pick a little one called learning styles, which we know, and everyone in L&D should know, do not work, are a complete fabrication and a con. And yet, nearly 50% of learning team members think learning styles are relevant in the L&D world. And 40% of their managers think learning styles are relevant. Who are these people? I just don't understand that, unless they mean they're relevant in the sense that I can banish them and I can weed them out and make sure they're not used. But it doesn't seem to apply that. And it's almost at the same level as 70-20-10. Now, that is a completely valid approach. Learning in the flow of work is the top. That does get more. But if you look at things like XAPI and SCORM, they're way, way lower than learning styles. Explain to me. I don't understand.
I think one final thing that I would also highlight is that nearly 50% of the L&D managers think their tech stack needs attention, and 10% say it's a mess. There's also a lot of room for improvement around what the technology stack looks like for learning. But I do wonder what the digital maturity is like across the industry. And basically, I think now is the time to really invest time in understanding what the technology landscape looks like. And because there's lots of new players, it's very competitive. Clearly, you're going to have to wade through a lot of AI marketing hype as well, because it's the new kid on the block. So everyone's going to be talking about it. But actually, you know, there's a relationship with, you know, talent, HR, all of those other pieces of the workforce technology puzzle. So I think, you know, this for me, this research is basically saying, look, really, if the stack that you have isn't what you need it to be, then this is all about really getting to grips with understanding the technology, because it's just going to be vital to success. It already is, but it's just going to be more so. Especially on, and one other point about that is the data side of that, which is, you know, measuring effectiveness, for example. I think there was some gaps in people's data capture, it says in the research. And basically, to really make it work, you're going to have to collect the right data. So these things are linked yet again. So I think that's just one thing I would raise, is that, you know, just encourage people to really seek out all the knowledge that they can get about the vendors, the technology, how it all goes together, and what you actually need to solve your problems.
Because a failed data stack is not just about the end user, it's also about the quality and quantity of data that you're gathering as well. So if you've got a bad data stack, you create bad experiences for your user, and you have no data to really register what's actually going on in the organization, let alone measure the impact across the organization. So you're kind of building massive, massive obstacles for yourself, and taking on very heavy weights that you've got to kind of discard in order to make progress. So I suppose my feeling is that what comes over is that it's a tough role. There's a lot that needs to be done, and people are struggling a bit and maybe moving in completely wrong directions, or without any sense of direction, and are doing this built around a poor strategy, an ineffective strategy. So I hope that future surveys will have an uptick, because it says at the very beginning of the report that something, the survey is a snapshot of a profession undergoing rapid change. And that doesn't really come over very clearly either, does it? It's a snapshot of a profession trying to maintain the same old, when what they need is a profession undergoing rapid change. So perhaps it's a bit of a wake-up call. Perhaps there is an agenda there that people could embrace, and to make their whole operation more relevant, more business-oriented, more attached to or based in the flow of work. And in that case, this survey will have done a great job. It'll be a great wake-up call. I don't know. What about you, Martin? Final words.
Yeah, I think it's... I feel like I'm being left to interpret it a lot. So there's some caveats around that. So I hope that our interpretation here is fair. I think you're right. I think, you know, for me, it feels like it is a tough place to be, and there's work to be done. And I think there's a lot of change happening currently, and I would expect this survey next year to look potentially quite different. But we've just scratched at the surface. There's 74 pages of this. There's lots of data in there. So you can come at it in lots of different ways. I think it would just be interesting, you know, that I feel like this is our interpretation of a few of the data points. It would be interesting to see what other people make of it.
Well said, I think. Well said, Martin. From scratch.